actually, Catherine Baptista did it last year, so I can't take credit for all 4 years, but I'll take credit for the first two in this one. I don't know, how many of you have pulled your kids out of school? So more than I expected. I am green with envy to all the rest of y'all who figured this out really, really early, because I wish I'd found the family bed. I wish I'd discovered the peaceful parenting. I wish I knew not to send my kids. All those things that y'all, some of y'all are getting from, we have people emailing us saying they want to do this. They don't have kids yet. and they're figuring it out before. We waited until Cameron was 12. And again, we went to private, Ben and I went to private school. He went to military school. We were entrenched in school. Cameron was at the same private school I went to. Megabucks. I mean, ridiculous money. Thank you. I know I'm going to need this. Thank you, Darren. And he loved school. From the time he was, he's always been an inquisitive kid, but from the time he was started 4-year-old kindergarten, he was in school, loved school. He'd be up at 6 o'clock, dressed, showered, ate breakfast, sitting out there, waiting for us to go to school. Waiting to get in the car. Loved school. Had great teachers. He really went to a great place. Fourth grade got kind of weird. We had some weird things going on in fourth grade. Fifth grade, and they don't grade. The school didn't grade. Cool, huh? Fourth grade didn't grade. Fifth grade, they started doing grades, and things got a little weird. Sixth grade, Cameron had the realization that these were arbitrary. There was no reason. He did a project one time, and it was a roots project. He had to interview family members, get pictures, talk to them, get all these different things, and present it to the families. He presented his on the day the 60 children brought their books in, and all the kids and all the teachers said, "Come look at Cameron's, come look at Cameron's, it's the best one here." And he was so thrilled, he knew he was getting an A, because he was a B student. He was a good B student, he was not an A student. And Nikki Serene was the A student. You couldn't beat Nikki Serene. He had the best book there, hands down. And he got a B minus. And it was devastating. They were using his as the example, and because he didn't type enough, he got a B minus on his book. That was his realization. And he said, and he knew this was not okay. Then I went to a board meeting at school, and it was the parents. I was on the board. I was the room mom every year. I was very active in the school. I'd be there in the mornings on Elephant Appreciation Day with the peanuts and the elephant jokes and whatever. And on National Sandwich Day, I'd have all the sandwich stuff, and we'd make big hero subs. And I was there for St. Patrick's Day. We'd spray the kids' hair green and paint everything, turn everything upside down, leave chocolate candies everywhere. I was the room mom. Everybody wanted to be in Cameron's class because it was the cool class to be in, because you knew there'd be a party at least once a week. But I was invited to this board meeting, and they wanted to know what we wanted as parents. And I and one other mom thought we needed more art. This is a private school. They could do anything they want in a private school. And they wanted more computer time. I'm thinking, they've got one at home. Can we do more art? Can we do more music? Can we do more cool stuff that's fun? And they all looked at me like I had lost my mind. They wanted more foreign language. They wanted more math, more computer time. I'm thinking, this is not what I want for my child. He's not an academic type. He's artistic. He needs that outlet. Ben went out of town for 2 weeks. I went to the library, and I picked out every book on homeschooling that there was. Every single book, and I read every single book cover to cover. Some were so horrible, it's just not funny. But I found a book on John Holmes, and I started reading in order. I got every book at the library. I had a stack this big. And nobody in town could get another homeschooling book checked out of the library. I read all of John Holt's books from cover to cover, starting with the first one and ending with the last one. I read Mary Griffith's homeschooling handbook. Found out she had an unschooling handbook, had to find that one. And started researching unschooling, found unschooling.com message boards, and found what is now UD, the unschooling discussion list. But back then, I called it unschooling.comedy because it was just a... You know, it was a mess. But it's kind of cleaned itself up a little bit now. A little more moderation. But, and I got on and off that list. So some of y'all been on and off the list, you'll get on and off the list, and eventually you're going to be in there posting more than I do. So it's a wonderful list if you can take the heat. It's a great list. But I read on that list and for months before I found that list. Ben came home from 2 weeks away, and I'd read all these books on homeschooling, and I said, "Honey, we need to have a talk. I want to homeschool the boys." And I had a display. I had a page numbered. Point one, why? Point two, why? Point three, why? And I had this whole big thing. And Ben looked at me and before I could even get to my presentation, I had worked out a presentation. Before I could even get to the presentation, Ben said, "Okay. I don't know how we're going to pay for a private school for two boys anyway. And, you know, yeah, I trust you. That's fine. Whatever you say." He knew I wasn't going to do anything to hurt my children. I adore my children. I wasn't going to do anything to screw up their lives. And luckily he did trust me, because he fought a little bit on this too. It was the coming out of school is so, so much harder, because you're changing your whole mindset. You're talking about a paradigm shift, and there's nothing like taking them out of school. You spend I heard Pam talk about play as a children's work. Well, poor old Cameron, honey, that school is your job. You know, I have a job, Dad has a job, this is your job. Your job is to get, you don't have to get straight A's, you need to be a good student, you need to work hard, and he did. He was a good student, he worked really hard, he got good grades, the teachers loved him. But that's not their job. Their job is to learn, yeah, but you know, brainwash. We'd all had it all our lives. We all know the same, we've all heard the same stuff over and over. At the end of that year, we pulled him out. The summer was much like any other summer. We just kind of hung out and let the summer be. All of his friends came over, swam all day. You know, they never left. But in the fall, school starts back. And all of his friends were emailing him and telling him he was going to be stupid and that he would never find a job. And how are you going to ever get into college? And, you know, how smart is your mother anyway? And if she took you out of school, can y'all give me just a minute? Ryan, come! Good boy. Can you go over and get to Ryan! I think, how smart is your mother anyway? I think that kind of got it. I thought that we needed, there's one thing to understand unschooling, and it's a whole different thing to put it into practice. You can say, yeah, I know children learn by doing, I know they learn by being in their passions and being interested, I know all that, but then you're still stupid. You still sit there and pat the car and go, "That's geometry. That's geometry. See how it all fits in the car? Isn't that cool?" Or you're fixing, you know, you're cooking, and you go, "We're doing chemistry." You know, they don't need to be told that. They're not stupid. You just do it, and they get it. I did everything not like that. This is geometry. Yeah, we're doing. The Japanese roll, maki. We went out and got all the maki stuff. My children love Japanese food. Went out and got all the stuff to make maki, made our own maki, waved the fan over the rice. And that's we're doing international studies. No. We're just having a good time. And you need to let them know that that's really all they're, this is all fun. Don't start labeling what they're doing as something. He told me he would never read or write again. My father about died when he heard Cameron say that. He would never read a book. He'd been forced to read, and he was one of the top first readers in his class. Missed a stage, got behind, and he never wanted to read again. So I started reading to him, and we had forced reading sessions in the morning. He'd still be in bed, partially asleep, and I'd be up there going, and we read short stuff, and I thought, this is a great idea. I read short stories and poetry, and then afterwards, I want you to draw me a picture of it. We read The Scarlet Ibis and The Telltale Heart, and I know a lot of that is poetry. And that was really unfortunate. Don't do that. I'm trying to tell you now what I did so you don't screw up. The more and more I read at unschooling.com, they gave me more confidence. They kept saying, leave them alone. Okay, so you step way back
and do nothing.
And I did that. But I kept reading, and that's not what we mean. When we say leave them alone, we don't mean just let them be. They do need to heal. Cameron came out at 12, and 12 is the time when they're really into socialization. They want to be with their friends. They want to socialize. They want to... That's what they do at that age, is want to talk to friends. I mean, you can see, just look out here, that we have fun shops going on everywhere, but what are the 12, 13, 14-year-olds doing? They're in a little group running around all over the place, and that's all they want to do. They just want to be with each other. Look at what happens naturally, and that's what they're doing. He talked on the... People write on the unschooling discussion and unschooling basics list all the time. My kid will do nothing. And I said, I know. Cameron did nothing for 18 months. And if we could have shortened it had I not been so stupid in the beginning, and we could have shortened it had he been, had I allowed him to heal a little sooner. But the rule of thumb is 1 month for every year they've been in school, and that includes you. If you have a PhD, you are in really serious trouble. You have been in school way too long to step back and really think about this. It takes a lot. Now, if a kid's been in school, Cameron was in for 8 years, I could have cut this way, way shorter. But the two things that they, at this age, especially after they got out of school, they need a lot of sleep because they're just like toddlers at 12, 13 years old. They're just like toddlers. They need sleep. They're growing so fast. They need, their bodies are growing, their minds are growing, and they need rest. Why, school really screws them up at this age because they're, and my language gets really, really blue. And I have, when I write, when I type, I have to go back and erase everything. So if my language gets rough, you know, Ben will raise his hand or something. I was going to say something else other than screw them up. So I have to really think. they need to heal. They need to grow during that time. When we sleep, we grow. So they need to grow just like a toddler does. And after they leave school, they need to heal. And the way we heal is when we're sleeping. So they really need a lot of time to sleep. Please don't make them get up at 8 o'clock because that's what everybody... Because you need to get up at 8 o'clock to have a job. He's had jobs that he had to be up at 6 o'clock for, and I don't even need to wake him up for them anymore. He's up. You know, he has... I don't know, do you use an alarm clock or you just wake up? He has an alarm clock. I don't even know. But he's always up when he needs to be. But he literally ate, slept, watched TV, talked on the phone, played on the computer, and that's the time that we left him completely alone. And then I started reading and understanding a little bit more that we don't mean to leave him completely alone. What we mean is let him heal, but offer every day something to do. I would go upstairs after I figured it out and say, we're going to the zoo. Duncan and I are going to the zoo. You want to come? And he'd go, no. Okay, the next day, we're going to eat Japanese. Do you want to come? Usually that was a yes. The next day, we'd say, we're going to go rent some movies. You want to come? Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Great movie for unschoolers. Rent it. We're going to the beach. You want to come? No. And he's old enough. He's 13, 12, 13. We could leave him alone, so we did. Duncan and I went and did all these fun things, and Duncan, you know, he's a little, four, five years old. He came back and told all the cool things we did, and Cameron just kind of sat there, yeah, been there, done that. At about 15 months after school, he did start getting it, and he started coming out. We said, do you want to go to the zoo? And he'd go, yeah. And he would go on trips, started doing the little things with us that we did. The hardest part about that period of time was his friends saying, you're going to be stupid. IMing him all the time. How are you going to do that? I actually got him to IM one day, one of the girls at school, and she was saying, I just think you're just going to be so stupid. But I said, I don't understand how they write with this U R, and they just use the letter U and R. So I'm typing Y O U A R E. And he goes, Mom, she knows that's not me. She knows that's not me. But I was talking back to her, and she said, well, how are you going to do this? And how are you going to learn algebra? And how are you going to do this? And I'd be typing, and he said, look, you just tell me what to write, and I'll do it. But he wanted to, and he didn't understand it. He didn't trust that this was going to be okay. And if he doesn't trust it, you know, it's not going to go anywhere. He needs to know that it's going to be okay. It's easier to look back now and go, these are the screw-ups I made. It's a whole lot harder when you're right in the middle of it. And it all looks like your kid was really never going to do anything. They'll just lie there in the bed for the next 25 years. They won't. They won't. Karen's passions, when he was in school, his big passion was magic, which I love to fuel. I'll throw money at magic. I love magic. We have $3,000 to $5,000 worth of magic stuff up in a box because he decided he didn't want to do magic anymore. Then he got into skating and skateboarding. And this is the tricky one, because Ben and I don't skate. And when you don't have a passion, when you don't share a passion that your child shares, you might not want to spend as much money on it. And Cameron says we did okay. I think we could have done better. I didn't mind putting money into the magic. Ben didn't mind putting money into the bikes. The filmmaking, we kind of get into filmmaking too. That's one of his new passions. We don't mind buying the big camera and taking him places. And he's made a couple of films that have been really cool. And the new drumming thing, y'all saw him last night. He loves to drum. This is his second drum set. We like the music. But the skateboarding was a little harder for us to say, this is a real passion. And, of course, he was going to be the next, not Tony Hawk. Who's the guy? Bam. I don't know. Some guy. And, you know, yes, there are people who can make a living doing this. Bam can make a living doing this. Most people are not going to make a living doing that. And so that's a little hard for us to look at and go, sure, honey. Here's $1 zillion. Go out and skateboard all day. And ended up, he wasn't that good anyway. But he went to two camps. And we sent him up to Woodward, which is a fabulous skateboard camp. But what he found skating was that he liked actually being behind the camera and watching and doing the other kids skating. So the skating led to the filmmaking, which led to a little movie he did. And now he's going to do a documentary on some of y'all. And so he's enjoying the filmmaking again. He said he helped a couple other people make movies. And then his new passion is drumming. You look at the drumming and go, yeah, that's just music. And that's good to do on the weekends with your friends. But what are you doing? But he's out there 6 hours a day, you know, on there. He'll go out 2 hours in the morning and drum. And then he'll go out and work. And then he'll come back. I need to get some drumming in. He'll go out and do an hour worth of drumming. He's drumming all the time, and he's getting better and better and better. But that's not all the drumming is. He'll get on the internet. He's on the internet. He gets the magazine Relix and Modern Drummer, and he gets. You see, he's a hippie. I assume I've all of y'all met him. He's the one running around in a skirt all weekend. You know. he's my hippie. I gave birth to a hippie, and I mean, look at me. Two preppies gave birth to a hippie. It's just a hoop. So, and I'm sure our parents would think of the same thing. You know, they gave our parents, all the straight ladies, gave birth to a bunch of hippies. But the drumming has led to a lot of other things. He's learned a whole lot about the 70s. That's history. I mean, you don't say that, but it's history. They're learning about history. Who cares if it's 1970s? It's still past, and as far as he's concerned, that was our 1940s. That was our World War II. The 70s to him are World War II. You know, we studied World War II. But the 70s and 60s were just as important, if not more so. That's fine. He's learning all about the 70s and 60s and learning about the civil rights and Vietnam War. I mean, he's covering those things, and it's really cool. He's doing the music. Well, music's on its own as the art. But he's also designing all sorts of stuff. Just that one thing of drumming has covered all the school subjects that we'd have to do. We've got math in the, you know, I don't know how in the world he does a drum roll, but you've got math and all that stuff. You've got the history and all that in the history of drumming and music and the bands. And he's been to Scotland. He got to go to see all the cool stuff over there. He's covering all the stuff that we need in South Carolina to do the documentation. I'm keeping a really close eye on the time. I'm going to run over, so... But, hey, I'm in charge. One of the things is... briefly, the first conference, second conference. The first conference, the child did not leave the room. conference coordinator. My child was in the hotel room all weekend. I will not say I was embarrassed, because my children have not embarrassed me, but I was uncomfortable that my kid didn't even want to be down here with y'all. And then the second conference, he was a little bit better. He was still feeling a little more comfortable with himself, and he was better. The third conference, he had a really good time. And part of that was probably because I wasn't in charge, and he didn't feel like there was any pressure. This year, he owns the place. I mean, he's running around. He's having a great time. He's, you know, meeting everybody. He's really into it. And so some of y'all who didn't see him at the first conference, there's a huge different swing. So you can see that he's done the healing from the first conference to now, and it's just been amazing. I want to talk about his friends. The friends that he had in school who were telling him he was going to be stupid and everything, you know, they ain't doing nothing. Okay, you can get me for a double negative, but I didn't say it. They have no passions, no direction, no interest. Their parents don't work with them. They're beautiful children. They're sweet children. They do not. They're lost. It's very sad. His high school friends are still wonderful people, but they have nowhere to go. They don't, you know, some of them are going to college just because, other ones aren't going, you know, and all of them, none of them are in the private school anymore, all of them in high school dropped out of the private school, because they won't work that hard, and went to public school where you can goof off and not do anything. But his new friends are some of these guys, not back to school camp, which he just fell in love with, and most of his friends are older. The band members are in their 20s. He has a band at home that doesn't have a name, so, you know, if y'all want to help him out with a name, great. And but most of them are older. He has friends from 6 to 50. John's become one of our good friends, but he was Cameron's friend first. He's a magician who's my age. He's 45. And he was Cameron's friend. And we just kind of, he's a family friend now. He has a new buddy. Joel. Joel. He's working for Joel. Joel is a gay 70s. What? I don't know. I haven't met him yet, but I'm dying to meet him. I said, invite him over for supper. I'm inviting him over for supper. We're just dying to meet him. But he runs around in platform shoes, and he's a DJ at one of the local discotheques. It's just a hoot. I mean, it's just. So we're looking forward to meeting Joel. Joel's brand new. He's only known Joel for about 2 weeks. But his friends still are not comfortable with who they are. They are still posturing a lot. Cameron's very comfortable who he is in his own skin, and I owe all of that to unschooling. If we had left him in school, that wouldn't have happened. He would have just crumbled, and it would have been very, very sad. I'm so glad we got out of this. And as Pam said, I wish we'd. Nobody here is going to tell you, I wish I had found unschooling later. Or, you know, I could just kick myself for not pursuing it any earlier. That's a whole other story why we didn't go any further. And I would love to do that. But, you know, I'm already almost every time, and I still have a half a card. So we won't do that. One of the things that Sandra said in a post is, don't let his learning be associated with resentment of you. If you start pushing learning on them, especially at this age, there's really no reason to. You don't want them, like a lot of the homeschooled children, they can't even come home and say, my teacher sucks, and that doesn't count.
You were quoting kids, so 1 year old.
They can't even come home and do that. Be their partner. Find the things that they're passionate about and support the things that they're passionate about, even if you don't like them. That skateboarding thing, you know, he was jumping out of barns and stuff and, you know, getting into this. And this is a show, the Jackass show. He was getting into that and jumping off of stuff. And, you know, here's a mother going, please don't break anything. But the bones heal and it's not that big a deal. Just don't break a neck or something, you know. Oh, quickly, things to do if you're bringing your kid out of school. First of all, don't nag. The nagging, if you start nagging, we were 18 months. It should have only been 8 months. And every child is different. That's a rule of thumb. Every child is different. It could have been 8 months. He's ultra sensitive. I'm guessing it would have been probably 10 months for him to actually de-school had I got it in my head earlier. But my nagging, every time you go step back from your unschooling journey, every time you say, why don't you have a book in your hand? Or can we watch the History Channel instead? Or any of these things, you just step back to square one. You are no longer at month eight. You are at month one again. So now you have 8 more months to make up, plus whatever's left. So no nagging. If you decide to take this leap, try to stay with it. You can think anything you want in your head, but you fake it till you make it. You smile a whole lot. You ask them to do things. One of the favorite things, they really like movies, rent, do verticals. We learned about verticals with wine because you do, I don't know, you do Merlots and you do all the Merlots, or you do the, whatever, you do everything the vineyard makes. When you do a vertical, Johnny Depp, you do all of Johnny Depp. Start with his first thing, work all the way up. You ain't gonna have a bad time. do Jack Nicholson movies, all the way up. Pick a theme. Pick World War II. Do all the World War II movies. I can't handle the Vietnam movies. You're going way over my comfort level with the Vietnam movies. They get too graphic and it's just kind of gross. But, you know, he's kind of into that time period, so we've seen a few. But do pajama day. You don't get out of pajamas. You order pizza in. You have popcorn. And you sit and watch movies in your PJs all day. Do things that would make them want to be with you, want to hang out with you, because you are their partner. You try fighting a teenager, and again, I'm talking about taking a child out at this stage. 12 is a really, really tough stage. Trying to fight a teenager is not, people do it every day, and that's why their kids are all messed up. they're fighting, and yeah, we have a neighbor they have a 12-year-old girl, and they spanked her, and, you know, they do all that. They're very traditional parents. It's really awful. And the kid is suddenly fighting back. She's bigger than her mother. And they're wondering why they have to tie this child down, sedate her, and take her and put her at the mental hospital. She's 12, and she just wants to be 12! She just wants to be 12. She's normal. I mean, she's a normal kid. She's delightful. She's sweet. She's wonderful. And they're treating her like she's this monster, and she's not. She just wants some control in her life. She has no control. Her grandmother told me, she can't. I'm not going to fight with a 12-year-old. But I said, how's that working for you?
Yeah.
Work with them. They want to be good people. They want to be an adult. They're struggling. It's a hard time. They will get there. But the more you can work with them and help them find their passions, it may take a while for them to find one if you take them out of school. But and let the learning itself be the reward. They come here, girl. Do I even know who this band is? Yes, okay, a little bit, because he has a book this thick about it. But he is so comfortable. He is so comfortable with who he is, much more so than I was. He can be open, and he's... Show me your hands. He's got a hug button. If anybody needs a hug button, he gives the world's best hugs. If you're having a crappy day, crappy doesn't count. If you're having a crappy day, it's a fish. You can come up and punch this, and he will give you the world's best hug. Duncan is benefiting, our little one is benefiting from what we've learned here, and learning it early and letting them grow up that way always. I'm so envious of y'all that have figured this out. But Duncan's benefiting from all our screw-ups, and I can't ask for a better screw-up. He really is as close to perfect as I can get. So I think that's it. I will be leading a breakout discussion this afternoon on...
Thank you.
I'll be leading a breakout discussion this afternoon when we do the breakouts. Okay, I'm done with my talk, but I'm going to do this real quick because I'm throwing it in there. But if if anybody's interested in asking me questions about taking your kid out of school, I'll be happy to get in more detail. And same thing for whatever whatever one you want to talk to. If you want to talk about really little kids, Danielle and Robin would be doing that. The teenagers will probably be Pam and Wes and Sandra. Ren will be doing, if you have some of y'all non-kids, say, talk to Ren. I have two onlys. I don't know how in the world y'all do it with a bunch of kids. And the last thing is, there's going to be an unschooled teens discussion Saturday from 1 to 2. And Cameron and Roya, Pam's daughter, who are big, we're not back to school campers, will be talking about that. And if you want a place that your child will feel at home, 100% at home, with a bunch of like-minded people, that's the place to go. He came back, that was the best experience. This child has been to Australia, Germany, Scotland, Albuquerque, Washington. We send him everywhere. I think travel's the best thing you can do. What is the quote from Mark Twain? It eliminates
prejudice.
Well, three flakes, but prejudice is one of them. But it makes you a better person to get out and move and get out of your home base. And he's been all over, and I'm ready to send him more places. But Costa Rica in the spring. But they're going to be in room 3 on Saturday. But we just added that because we thought some of y'all might be interested in your teens having a place to go that they will feel so at home, it's not funny. Okay, I will look forward to seeing some of y'all this afternoon. Thank you very much.